All right, today we're going to look at a decree that God made. And whenever God makes a decree, it's finished. As soon as he makes it, it's finished. It's done in heaven. But on earth, a decree is made and then it begins and then it's in process and then it's finished. But in heaven, as soon as he makes the decree, it's done. So, as far as heaven is concerned, everything's over. Everything is known. Everything is finished. But as far as earth is concerned, we are watching it in time, because there's no time in heaven. We're watching something happen in time, so we see the beginning, then the middle, then the end. But in heaven, it's just one big circle. Just finished. As soon as it starts, it's over. And so, someday in heaven, we'll all be finished. We'll see it. But today, it's actually finished in heaven. So, as in heaven, so on earth. So, everything that God decreed is already done in heaven, but it isn't yet done on earth. We haven't seen it yet. But it's getting close. It's getting close. Joe's in a race between the Lord's coming back and her staying here. You're in a race. So, you might make it. Yeah, you might make it. We don't care because we're ready and everything's finished anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But it is possible that we could see the Lord's return. But it's also possible that we won't. But it really is inconsequential. That is a fact which is moot. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. So whether we see the Lord and watch it fulfilled, or whether we later see the Lord being the first risen from the dead, it's all the same. It all comes out the same. So, we think in time, we think in space. God doesn't. God does not think in time or space. And so, anytime a decree is made, so we're going to look at the decree, and I want to look at the last work of God. Everybody knows about the first work of God and the second work of God, but they're really not sure and certain about the third work of God. And there's only three works, and there's never any more. There will never be any more works. There's only one, two, three. And if you understand one, it must always end up in three through two. So one is not fulfilled in time under one, but it's fulfilled in time under two, which is fulfilled in time under three. So the three, the third work, is the one I focus on, not the first and the second. But the first and the second are the third. Because the first one, whatever God originally purposed, planned, intended, I said it's already done. As soon as he made the decree, as soon as he willed it, he decreed it. And as soon as he decreed it, it was finished in heaven. But we haven't seen it. And those that lived before Jesus, they didn't even see the second one until it happened. So that was 2,000 years ago. So for 4,000 years, all men knew was the first deed. They did not know the second deed. And now for 2,000 years since Jesus, all we've seen is the second deed. We have not yet seen the third deed. Nobody has. Nobody. It's only known to God. Now, you've seen the third deed started. And you've seen it continue. But you haven't seen it ended, finished, complete, until Revelation 21. We're going to read that. Revelation 21 said, it's done. But that's in the future. We're waiting patiently, happily. We're waiting patiently, waiting over time, Time has to do with waiting. You don't wait when in heaven. There's no waiting. In heaven, when you say, "Could I have light?" It's right there. Remember in the beginning when God created the world, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the way it is in heaven. Let there be water. There was water. Let there be fish. Fish, by the way. And so, on earth, we see things slowly. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. We see it slowly. But God sees it all at once. He saw it unfold. He saw the first day, and we know it's literally a day to us, 24-hour day. Because you cannot have the light show up on the fourth day and the plants on the third day. You can't go for thousands and millions of years without light. Natural light. And so, therefore, we know that's ridiculous. That's silly to think that the day is anything more than the day we know. He wrote the book for us. He didn't write it for angels or for some kind of superhuman beings. He wrote it for us. So we understand the word day. That's why I use the word day. He said day. In the Hebrew, it's yom. Yom is day. And so he understood exactly what day is. And so the days of the week are over time for us, but they're not for God. One day for God is 1,000 years. So the week, which is our regular week, that's, we created the world, and on the seventh day, He hallowed it. And He said on the seventh day, "I'm finished, it's done, I did it in 6 days." But on the seventh day, rested. And that's when He said, "It's finished, it's done." 3 times in the Bible, God says, "It's finished, it's done." The first time when He created the world, the second time when Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It's finished," and the third time, when the Holy Spirit was done with His work, which we haven't yet seen. That's when God wrote in the book of Revelation, "It's done." That's the third time in the Bible that you see, "It's finished, it's done. It's finished, it's done. It's finished, it's done. The end has come. It's over. The acorn has become an oak tree. The immature believer is now mature. That which God started is now finished." So God said, "Okay, it's going to take me 6 days." And Jesus said, "Okay, it's going to take me 33 years. And the Holy Spirit said, "It's going to take me 3,000 years. So each of them had a little different timing. Now, God got His work done right away. God the Father. But God the Son, it took Him a little while to get His job done. He said, "I have come to do the will of God. I've come to do the work of God. I'm working the works of God." Jesus was not working His own works. The Father did not do creation without the Holy Spirit and without Jesus. And Jesus didn't do His own work. He did the Father's work. He finished the work of redemption because the Father's creation was going to be destroyed. So Jesus redeemed it. Now, not only did He create heavens and earth, the first creation, the Father, but He also created mankind. But He didn't just create mankind. He created mankind to be holy. He wanted a holy people, and it didn't work. But when He finished it on the sixth day, it worked on the sixth day. And then on the seventh day when He said, "It's good. It's perfect. It's finished." That meant everything God created was good. Everything God did was good. Now, the fact that man messed up and wasn't holy, that's because God made man free, which was good. Knowing that mankind would mess up, sin, do wrong. God knew it. When we have children, we know they're going to misbehave. We know that children are going to misbehave. There's never been a child born yet of woman under the law who hasn't misbehaved except Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one. He's unique. He's different than every other man. He's like a second Adam. And after 4,000 years, he was born. And Joe, he never sinned. Jesus never sinned. And the Father knew that. He knew, well, my son, when he comes, he'll be a good example. Because he will be what I was planning, the number one, what Jesus did. I was planning that. And I wanted to have a whole bunch of them like that. So I sent my son down to show everybody what I was talking about. Now, when we see Jesus, we know, oh, that's what I was meant to be. That's how I was supposed to behave. It's different in the kingdom of God than in the kingdom of men. That's why Jesus not only talked about, proclaimed the kingdom of God, but he lived it. He brought it to pass. And we're part of that kingdom now. Praise God. So number two is that Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Because you had to die under number one. Because anybody who sinned had to die. Anybody who ate of the tree had to die. So everybody born of woman is dead. They are born dead. Not physically dead. Not psychologically dead, but spiritually dead. All of Eve's children, from the beginning of the world until now, are born dead, unclean. When a woman has a child, that child is unclean. If it's a male child, then she has to purify herself under Hebrew law 40 days. If it's a female, twice. Don't you think that's mean of God to make girl babies, the mom has to be purified 80 days, not just 40. It's better to be a male, isn't it? What do you think, Nick? Yeah, that's what it seems. But it's not. But it's not. But it's not. It's not at all. Actually, what it is it's a time thing. Remember I said there's no time in heaven, but there's time on the earth? So it's a secret. There's a secret. Why a woman, when she bears a son, only has to wait 7 days outside the camp, and on the eighth day, she brings the son to the camp, or to the house of God, and there circumcises. Because one man of all men will be the seed of Eve to be the Messiah, the hope, not only of Israel, but of all mankind. And that's why a male child is important, not more important than a woman at all, because only a woman will bring that male child into the world. So a woman is not less important, and she's not twice as bad. Actually, what it is that she is the one that's going to redeem Eve and redeem the children. Through her son, one son will be born to a woman, and she'll be a Jewish woman. As time went on, that's what we discovered. And she'll have a son. And so every Jewish woman, when she had a child, if it was a woman, if it was a girl, oh, 80 days for this one. That's sad. Until you understand what God is doing, then you see it's very powerful. 40 days for a boy, because he has to be circumcised on the eighth day, because he might be the Messiah. You remember when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple? Anna came up, a woman, and then another one came up, and they prophesied. Simeon prophesied, Anna prophesied. And they said, this is the one. That meant Mary was the mother of the Messiah. On the eighth day, she had to stay away 7 days, then on the eighth day, she brought him into the temple. And declared, this is the Messiah. The long-awaited Messiah has come. So every woman kept thinking over the years, You remember Rachel died in childbirth? Remember as she was bringing forth her son, second son? She had two. She died. Well, that would be sad until you understand God had a plan, a purpose. You remember, all of your children are unclean, male and the female, except that the male, one will be clean. Only one. Only one. Only one. So every Jewish woman said, I hope it's my boy. I got a boy, so this might be the Messiah. Because there's hope in no woman, but there's hope in a male Messiah. Now remember that Jesus is called the head. And we are called the body. And the body is always feminine. And the head is always masculine. Now, Jesus is not the head of the Father. The Father is always the head over the Son. So Jesus submits himself to the Father as though he were feminine. And the Father, kephale, head, he is the masculine over the Son. And whatever he says, the Son does. And Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. So Jesus is like the feminine, submitted to the masculine. But over mankind, Jesus is the masculine. He's kephale. And man, male men, are all submitted to him as though they were female. So, we can never be the head over Jesus. But Jesus is always the head over us. But look what kind of a head is. The Father loves the Son. So he serves the Son, even though he's the head serves the Son. And then Jesus, even though he's our head, he serves every man. And even though the male is over the female as head, and the female cannot be over the male as head. But yet they're equal. The Son is equal to the Father in divinity, in value. They're absolutely equal. And yet one is over the other in love. A form of government, not for them, for us. The reason Jesus is under the Father is so that the Father can send him into the world to be our Messiah, to bless us. And Jesus said, I'll do it, Father. Could have been the other way around, but the Father is the head, but only in government. But truly, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. They're completely equal, even though one is called the head and the other is called submitted, hupotasso. In other words, Jesus, under creation, under the laws and rules of creation, Jesus is submitted to his Father. And we, every male, is to be submitted to Jesus, only we weren't, so we killed him. we not only weren't under his headship, but we actually killed him. You say, well, I didn't kill him. Yes, you did. Because it was your sins that he took on himself, because he's a servant. He isn't just a master. He's a master who is a servant. He is a master who serves you in love, and even though he's over you, he's actually under you. Even though he's over, he's under. Even though he's over, he's under. That was what God always had in mind when he created the world and then put man over. Man could only be a good steward if he was under. Under God, over creation. But man was never given dominion over man. Man was not to be in dominion over the woman, to abuse, but only to serve, just like God was over the Son. In government, different than in nature. The nature of God is such that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal. Even though you don't hear anything of the Holy Spirit, you almost know nothing of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't even speak of himself. He only speaks of the Son. And the Son never speaks of himself. He only speaks of the Father. So the Spirit speaks of the Son, and the Son speaks of the Father, and the Father sends the Spirit and the Son. So it's all together. Beautiful harmony, beautiful love, beautiful family. And that is how every family on the earth is named after God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when Jesus finished his work under the Father, it was feminine. He redeemed us in a feminine fashion. But he had to be a male to perform that. But the greatest work of all is the female. The pinnacle of creation is the woman. Why? Because she's the one being served. She's the one for whom everything was prepared. When he created the light and the moon and the sun and the stars and the water and the crickets and the grasshoppers and the grass and the fishes and the birds, all of that was done for the man and the woman. And she was the pinnacle. Now that's why the 80 days is greater than the 40. Because she's unclean for 80 days based upon the feminine. Because the last work of God is not where God creates as Father or the Son redeems as Son, but where the Holy Spirit makes holy the woman. That's why we are called the bride. We are the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body that submits to the head. How many know that your body just doesn't move all over? You know, your body doesn't just move all over. Now, in a little baby, the baby's hands and feet just move all over. Have you ever seen that? The little babies, they're just moving all over because there's no head to guide them. They don't even know that's their hand. You know, they'll even scratch themselves, think, someone's scratching me, but it's them. But they don't know because they're not under their head. The baby doesn't have a head, so they just, ouch, you know, this is hurting. And they don't even know what they're doing because the baby's just swimming all the time. Have you ever seen how they're swimming all the time? You put them in a pool right off the bat. You could put a baby in a pool and it would swim. It would breathe. It would know how to breathe, know how to hold its breath, and it would swim immediately. Did you all know that? And they look like they're little frogs. And you just put them in right away. They know what to do. Are you aware of that? You could put a brand new baby into a pool. He would immediately know how to hold his breath and swim. You start thrashing about. And they can swim underwater. They don't care. Especially if it's nice and warm. they can just swim. They just learn right away. They're automatic. So babies are beautifully submitted to the parent because they aren't submitted to themselves. They don't have a head. So the parent has to take care of them because they don't have a head. And if you're not under Christ's headship, you won't take good care of your child. So the woman is the most important of all. That's why it's 80 days, twice the male. The male is only the middle step, but the woman is the final. You all understand? I know you don't, but listen anyway. Because there are mysteries here that are just the opposite of what people think. The woman then has the highest of all calling, because the Father created the world for male and female, he called them. He created it so that the woman would be at rest. But he put the burden on Adam. Adam, you will do this and you will do that. And so Adam was to serve his wife. So even though he's the head and she's submitted, the truth is, she's the one protected. She's the one blessed. Everything the male does is for the female, not for the male. The man gives up his life to serve his wife. Now, she's the helpmate, true. She's to help him so that as he serves her, she's helping him to serve her. I don't know. I think a lot of women didn't see this. They were just thinking, oh, poo, serve. I'll do it. I won't be happy about it, but I'll do it. Oh, you missed it, totally. Because right now, time is not waiting on the male. It's waiting on the female. It's the bride right now that's being perfected for the bridegroom to come back and take his bride so he can serve her. Do y'all understand? So I am a male, but only in time and space. But when we go to heaven, there won't be any more marriage. There won't be male and female. When we go to heaven, you are sons of God, and we are bride of Christ. You see that? Male and female cease to have meaning, except God then becomes the male under which we are submitted as a whole people. You see, so feminine and masculine, in our language, male and female are usually male and female. But in the Greek language and in the Hebrew, everything is masculine or feminine. Everything. And you have to ask, why is that masculine and why is that feminine? And the masculine represents God, the head, but the feminine represents that which is submitted to God, the head. And everything is submitted to God, the head. So everything is feminine to God. Do y'all understand that? So even though you're a male, human, you're actually submitted to Jesus as your head. As the Father to the Son, so the Son over every man, so every man over his wife. Well, how is it with the Father to the Son? Well, the Father serves the Son. He's the one that raises him from the dead. He's the one that sends him the Spirit. He's the one that does everything for the Son. You remember Jesus once said, "Good Master, you've done so many wonderful works." He said, "None is good but God. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I didn't do anything." Yes, but you are the Master. Yes, but to God, I'm not the Master. To God, my Father, He's greater than I. I'll turn everything over to Him. But of course, He does everything for me. In other words, I let Him do it all. So the Father actually does everything, and the Son doesn't do anything. Whatever He does, He says, the Father who dwells in me does. He doesn't say, I does. He doesn't say, I did that. What He says is, the Father did that through the Spirit. Do y'all understand? So that's the feminine position, is to serve the masculine. But the masculine serves the feminine. So it's kind of interesting that love is actually the secret to all government. That which is head is actually that which is servant. And that which is servant is actually the one that's most blessed. Because there's no burden placed upon the one that is the receiver. There's only blessing. So children receive and they add nothing until they grow up. So the woman's 80 days is what we're waiting for to be fulfilled. Now, in the case when she bore a child that was female, she then stayed out of the camp. She came in on the 8th day if it was a male, but she could not go into the presence of God. She could come out of the, she was outside the camp for 7 days. Then she came in on the 8th day. She had to be clean enough to circumcise the son, dedicate him to God. But then she had another 33 days that she still could not go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But in the case of a female child, she did not circumcise the female because of the feminine position. But she stayed out another 40 days. But she could come into the camp, but not into the presence of the Lord. That's where we are now. We are no longer under the works of the law. Jesus fulfilled the works of the law because He was the child that was born clean, who worked the works of the law by being dead to Himself and alive to God. Now, the female is us, and that's why it's taking so long, twice as long. Why? Because it's the most important of all. You see, there is nothing insignificant in God's sight. There is no male or female. There are only jobs to fulfill. There's only a government to understand. there's only love. And in love, the head serves the woman. But in love, the woman who served serves the head. It's beautiful. And when you don't follow that order, it's awful. Where the male is a tyrant, serving himself and forcing her to burden her to serve himself, then that's out of order. And then the whole holy order is disturbed, and it's unclean. That's why she had to wait 80 days. We have to wait 80 days because we're not yet clean. So the bride, we're all bride. The rest of the world is not bride. The rest of the world is going to perish because they're born under the first Adam. And they weren't reborn under the second deed, second Adam. And they aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, third deed. Now, in deed doing, there's only three deeds in the universe. The deed of the Father, the deed of the Son, and the deed of the Holy Spirit. Those three deeds are the only three acts that are done according to God, according to the Scripture. There are only three decrees. The natural creation, the decree related to our redemption through Christ Jesus, male, male, and then the final decree. Under the work of the Holy Spirit, the bride will make herself ready. She will be perfected. Remember it says in the Bible, the Holy Spirit's in you to will. You are not under any burden to will. You remember under Moses, you were under a burden to will? That was under God's number one. Under number one, the natural order, the Mosaic command says, you must do something. But that's cruel. That is cruel, because you cannot do what only God can do. And that's why Jesus was the only one that could do it, because he was the male. Now remember that Adam was the first one born of God. He was called Son of God. He wasn't born of a woman. He was born of God. Remember that? Spiritual. The woman was taken out of the man, not the man out of the woman. So everything the woman bears is dead. And that is living what comes out of the man. And so he called her Chava, Eve, Chava. She is the mother of all living, and yet all her children were born spiritually dead. But because of the hope of the Messiah that would yet come, born of the woman, that would crush the serpent's head, then there was hope that for the woman, there would be hope in her seed, which was one seed, Jesus. Seed singular. And when Jesus was born, then hope entered into the world and the Jewish system came to an end under Moses. Because now the male principle birthed you and I out of the male, not out of the woman. Remember, Jesus was born of woman under the law. But actually, he was a new Adam after another law, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, which has set me free. Isn't that powerful? So now, everything born of Jesus is born of male, who was under the Father. So that birth gives rise to hope, redemption, fulfillment. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus began on the cross, what Jesus began in his own life, is now finished by the Holy Spirit, who's in us to will and to do of the Father, number one, good pleasure. So deed one, deed two, and deed three are really all finishing. Finishing creation, it's finished. 6 days, 7 days, it's finished. Jesus on the cross, second deed, finished. Now, one more deed has not been finished. It's been begun, and it's to finish what Jesus finished, what the Father started when he finished. After the Father started and everything he did, he said, it's good. After the eighth day, however, mankind, with his freedom, the woman, submitted not to God, but rebelled. Losing their spot, then, in the divine creation, and being unclean, everyone that's born into the world has to be circumcised. And after Moses, has to be baptized. Because Jesus is a new beginning. And he is no longer under the old Adamic first Adam creation, where everyone had to be circumcised, that is, cut off the flesh. Because Eve had to be reminded, when you have a child, male or female, you must purify. Because you cannot come into the presence of God born of woman. Everything born of woman is spiritually dead. Physically alive, psychologically alive, spiritually dead. But if you're born of man, the second Adam, as the first woman was born of Adam, which was a type and a shadow of the second, so the second man is the progenitor of a new race, of a new people, born of male. You are now of God. Now, you have to be born again to get that. Your first birth is of woman. Your second birth is of male, born of the Savior. So you've been, now God has redeemed his original creation to keep it going. Jesus redeemed it by pulling out what God originally intended in his first creation to have male and female submitted to him. But he couldn't have any males submitted to him, and therefore there could be no females submitted to him. Because under nature, there's no power in man to submit to the holiness of God. Because only God can do his own law. Because remember, the secret to producing fruit is being dead. Not spiritually dead, psychologically dead. So that then you'll be physically alive. So the works that we do, we don't do. The works that we do are works under a woman. But the works that the Holy Spirit does are out of a man. So that the works that you do are wrought in God and not wrought from yourself. Resurrection life. Now, the third deed, the last deed, which is the burden of my message today, has nothing to do with creation, has nothing to do with redemption. It's a third work which finishes what Jesus did on the cross in the atonement. So that we who are born again, and no one else, we who are born again of the second work are finishing, completing, and we come into that second work by faith, because we didn't do it, because we were born of woman. But we, by faith, become born again of male, therefore of the Messiah, of hope, and therefore a woman is vindicated. Because the woman was the light, that is, brought in the light through the Christ, the Messiah. The Jewish Messiah is the hope of mankind. Without him, everyone born under the first deed will perish, except the Son. And that's the hope, that one would be born who would redeem everyone born under the woman. And so Jesus came along, not for himself, but for the woman. So Mary's joy under the first law was to bring forth the second deed that would redeem the first for all who would believe. Now all mankind is created, and you have no choice. But in the second instance, that second work, you do have a choice. You have a choice to choose differently than you chose the first time. Now you can choose a perfect work, which the Son did, the second Adam, who was born of the first, the woman seed that would crush the serpent's head and bring to an end then the despair, the misery, the hopelessness, the perishing, and introduce a new eternal life, eternal kingdom that was not on the earth before. I know what I'm saying to you sounds mysterious. But you at least recognize that what I'm saying has scriptural, you've heard some scriptures. And I'm putting them together in a way that you haven't heard before. But nevertheless, it's as old as the hills. what I'm saying is not new at all, but it's new. It sounds new because the churches have only taught the first two deeds. And even though they've taught about the third deed, they have no comprehension of the third deed. They feel that if you're born again, that's the end. The whole purpose in life is to be born naturally and then to be born spiritually, and then it's over. Not at all. The purpose of the third deed is to finish the second deed, which finished the first deed. Therefore, the Father is glorified. I'm going to say that again. The glory of the Father is to set aside mankind to be holy, submitted to Him, so that He can serve them and fulfill His purposes. That's His glory. It's not His glory that He created the world. It's not His glory that Jesus redeemed the world. His glory is that what He created and what He redeemed is now finished, complete, done. And in heaven, it's known, but on earth, it has not yet been seen and experienced. We're content if we just receive the Holy Spirit, sing in tongues, have our legs lengthened, and sing some happy songs. That is not the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The purpose is to make you holy, not to make you wealthy and healthy. So that's been perverted. It's on the right track that something good, but I thought what was good was health and wealth. That's nothing. Throw that away. That is nothing. No, that's everything. Yes, it is under the first. Under the first deed, to preserve yourself is everything. Physically preserving yourself. You have to be wealthy in order to survive and eat and go ahead. And you have to be healthy in order to stay alive and so on. So that's psychosomatic, soul and body. But there's nothing spiritual in health and wealth. That's just simply a fruit of it. What you want is the completion of your holiness, which is spiritual and psychological and physical, but not focused on the psychological and physical without the spiritual. And so for many today, even though they preach about the Holy Spirit, He's in you to will and to do, they're still doing it. In other words, they're still carrying a burden. You missed it totally. This thing of being pure in Christ is easy. It's just as easy as being created by God. You didn't do anything. It's just as easy as being redeemed by God. You didn't do anything. So you're now being perfected on this earth, not in heaven. On this earth, now, and you didn't do anything either. You still didn't do anything because you're the woman. You're the bride. You're the one born of the male. You're the one to whom the male serves. Now you understood God for the first time. Not in His creation, not even in His redemption. But the fulfillment of the redemption is the full maturation of the woman. Till she becomes like unto the male. If the male means anything, it's to cause the female to be like the male under God. You see, the male is to make the female holy. Now, of course, only Jesus can make you spiritually holy. But the male lives that the female may know the Lord in the same way. Now, if the male isn't submitted to God, how can he help the female to come under God? Cannot. That's why there are many marriages that fall apart, because the male never took his role. Whose fault is it? Not the male. It's the pastor. It's the pastor who speaks for the male to the female to build her up, which is the body of Christ. The body of Christ, then, is feminine, because the body is actually the bride. So, though you are sons of God by birth, coming out of God, you are actually daughters by purpose, fulfillment, finish, completion, maturity. So, that maturity that God is after is not being taught in our churches today. You are not taught to rid yourself of sin, or you legalistically try to do it yourself, then there's a burden. If I have to do it, that's a burden to me. If I'm responsible, I'm burdened. A woman should never worry. She should have a man over her to protect her and bless her and prosper her and cover her and do all things so that she may be exalted as a free gift. Not because she earns it, not because she deserves it. When a woman is hard on a man, too bad for the man. You're only a man if the woman can be whatever she wants to be, whatever she chooses. The male still has the burden to bless that woman, to understand that woman, to protect that woman, and to cause her to grow holy by his own example and words and teaching. So the male must suffer. Jesus suffered for the bride. We must suffer in order to bring forth a marriage that's worthy of God. You're doing a good job, Nick. Right. This is very hard to grasp, by the way, because we tend to think naturally, and you're going to miss it because you don't even know nature. But in nature, these cultural words about male and female, in nature, there's more going on than meets the eye. No one would think by nature that man is the source of woman. But Adam was created first, and Eve was taken out of the man. She came forth not by pregnancy, but by God taking a rib and pulling it out of the man so that she's made out of the same substance exactly. There's no female, male, because she's made out of the same exact substance. Same dirt pile created one, created the other. So woman couldn't be less than man, or less valuable, or less worthy. It has to do with position. It has to do with love. It has to do with God's arrangement. It has to do with the Godhead. That's the way the Godhead is arranged. Now, God now is redeeming all that, and now he's fulfilling all that, and finishing all that, and completing it all, and it hasn't yet finished. You will die physically without having seen what I just said. Because there's no way you can get out of earth except through death. You can't get out of this earth except through death. And you can't get into the kingdom of God except through death. You have to be resurrected. Now, not physical death, spiritual death, and then psychological death, and then physical death. It's all backwards. Because God never gave his original intention when he said, "Be holy." You didn't know what he meant was not be holy, but I will make you holy. He said be holy, but he meant I will make you holy. And so you think, well, he didn't know how to say it. Yes, he did. He said it exactly the way he wanted to, because he gave you freedom, and he knew ahead of time you won't. No, not one. He knew all, male and female. How many know that males do not sin more than females? There's no difference between male and female. How many know that women are not more moral than men? And you know how immoral men are. So if they're not more, then we're equally devious, we're equally treacherous, we're equally, you know, the fact that the female seems to be legalistic seems to make her look better. But she's just as devious as the male, who's obviously wicked. Anyway, get beyond all of this human talk. What we're looking at is the third work, because this vision, this understanding, this knowledge will set you free. And you cannot be disciplined today in your life, and you will not grow without a vision of where you're going. The end doesn't justify the means. The end explains why God is doing what he's doing, and why right now you do not see what you will soon be. He that thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure, or she, speaking human. The truth is that right now you don't see Christ as he is. You see him through the Word, but someday you will see him face to face, and then all knowledge will be finished. All wisdom will be complete, all purity, all everything will be ended. But today we do not see that. We don't see, and you cannot see. You can have all the faith you want, you will not see that, because it isn't yet time. 80 days. We have to wait the full 80 days. And so if you wonder why he's delayed, he's not delayed. He's waiting for the bride to make herself ready. It takes 80 days. because he gave up himself, his soul, his person, so that the Father could work through him to finish his original intention, number one. So number one is fulfilled through number two, which is finished through number three. And that's why the 80 days are essential. They could not be shortened. You have to wait the full 80 days so that the woman is ready. And now she can come into the presence of God. And remember, we're all the bride. All of us are the bride. You have to get rid of the human understanding of male and female. In Christ, there is neither female or male. There isn't it. There's no difference. Because we're all submitted, and we're all blessed. To submit is to be blessed. I will submit to anyone that blesses me. I'll take it. If you want to bless yourself, I don't know if I want to submit. But if you want to bless me, I'm submitting. I'll submit to that. I would like to bless you. I'll submit. I'll gladly submit, right? Wouldn't that be powerful if a woman would submit to a man who was out to bless her? It's exactly what people think when they get married, but in reality, it doesn't turn out that way. In reality, we reassess. Uh-oh, he's not out to serve me. He's serving himself because he's not submitted to God. I thought he was godly, or I thought at least I could help him to get there. No way, because that's an effort or a work on your part. You cannot make your husband holy. Did you hear me? You cannot. You cannot. Now, I have an office that does. You don't have that office. If you're a wife, you cannot make your husband spiritual. So if you marry under yourself, if you're more spiritual than your husband, you cannot help him to get spiritual. Now, I know you've had testimonies where you think the wife prayed and so on and so forth, but she did it without words. She did it by her behavior. She did it by enduring. She did it by loving him when he wasn't deserving of love. She did it not by preaching and laying tracts around. She did it because she was radiant and happy under his tyranny. And most women are not patient enough to wait the 80 days. Don't quit until the miracle of the full maturation, the full beauty, comes forth. So, anyway, God is the only one that can do all of this. God the Father has all the burdens. Even Jesus had no burden. The burden that he bore, he gave to the Father. Father, I commit myself to your spirit. You know, I surrender myself. So Jesus was burdened, yes. Just like the male is burdened, yes. Just like the female is burdened, yes. But the burden is no burden when you have someone to put the burden upon. So the woman gives it to, or the children give it to the parent, the mother gives it to the husband gives it to Jesus, and Jesus gives it to the Father. It's the Father that raised the Son up, even though he had life in himself. But you and I do not have life in ourselves. We have life in him, who is our life, our joy, our peace, our hope, our happiness, our hope, everything. Everything is in him, the male, number two, that now the Holy Spirit is working, beholding him, too, we are changed. Not beholding the Father, but beholding the Father in the Son, through the Spirit, by the Spirit, according to the Spirit, I now can behold him. I become then like unto him, Christ-like. Number two gives me the image. Number three gives me the likeness. The likeness is my character and my conduct. So number three, the work of the Holy Spirit right now is not producing more faith in you. It's making that faith active, fulfilled, finished, so that redemption and atonement is now being completed in him, justification leading to sanctification. This the churches do not teach. They neither teach it in words or in deeds. They're teaching people to work at it. You cannot get there that way. You can't get there by doing a burden when the lesson is to have no burden. People hate my message. I know what they hate. They hate my message because I say you do nothing. That's what they hate. They like the faith teaching because it says, you're in charge, you have authority, you do this. And they love that message because it gives them pride that they can do something to show they're grateful and worthy. Not at all. You miss totally the female. You miss totally the female. Do nothing. Let Adam do it all. Adam let Jesus do it all. Jesus let the Father do it all. there's the glory of God. Right there is the glory of God. That God the Father, when it's all done, we will say, you did it. We give you the glory. Remember Guy? He wrote a book and he said, to God be the glory. Why? Because he was able to make us holy and we didn't do it. It was a gift. God gave us all his glory. We didn't earn the glory. We didn't work for the glory. He just gave it to us. He's never wanted you to ever earn it. He's never wanted you to deserve it. He's never wanted you to prove that you were worthy. What he wanted you to be undeserving, unworthy, so he could just give you the gift. So now holiness is not being holy. It's letting him who is give you his holiness and then make you holy through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues or leg lengthening or singing happy songs in church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is neither physical nor psychological, yet we have turned the charismatic and the Pentecostal teaching into your blessings, your, how happy you can be fulfilled. No, the purpose of the baptism is to kill you psychologically so that you don't care about suffering, you don't care about anything because you're a lover. This is, we are not producing that kind of fruit. We're producing the gifts without the fruit. But the whole purpose of every gift is to bear fruit, to edify one another, to worship God with all our heart, edify the brethren and love one another earnestly and from the heart, the same way God loved us, and to testify to this world because we've gone through the test. You have no testimony until you've gone through the test. Your test is to suffer until you're dead by beholding him who is so beautiful, and there's no need for you to be anything because he gives you everything. So my test is, will I be silent and quiet while the Lord, my husband, my father, is taking care of me? And when you do that, you have actually arrived. Your death is actually the key to your life. If you lose your life, you find it. If you try to keep it, you lose it. So the reason why I'm fierce against the theology of the day is because it's keeping people alive. I know they're born again. I know they were born naturally, and I know that now they've been redeemed. But you now are going on and perverting and grieving the Holy Spirit by teaching it's all for your wealth and your health. No, it's not. It's for the woman. It's for another. It's for others. It's not for you. Why? Because Jesus takes care of you. That's what you believe in. Number two, Jesus takes care of everything. Therefore, the Spirit is given not for you to get more stuff, but for you to be empowered by being dead so that he can live through you. Because he's the only one that works. He's the only deed that's done. There are no other deeds except the deeds of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You do no deeds. There are no deeds. Anytime you work, it's him. As Jesus said, the works that I do, the Father who dwells in me, doeth. So there is only the doing of the Father. Even the Son doesn't do his own works. Even the Holy Spirit doesn't do his own works. They are both submitted. In the case of the Holy Spirit, he's submitted to both the Son and the Father because the Father can only be known through the Son. And therefore the Spirit magnifies the Son who magnifies the Father. And that's why the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son so that you know the Father through the Son. In other words, don't know the Father apart from Jesus. You cannot come to me, he said. You cannot come to me except through the Son. Don't look at me. Don't regard my words except through equity. Don't ever look at the law through the letter. Look at the law through the Spirit. Don't ever look at the Father apart from Jesus. That's why he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You cannot get to the Father through Buddha, through Hinduism, because those are workers. All of them are brick makers. All of them are pyramid builders. We come because it's a free gift. No labor, no work, no sweat. That's the worship God is looking for. Thank you, Jesus. The only work that ever wants from us is thank you. Worship, adoration, peace, love. You see, love comes out of that kind of worship. Because the new heaven and the new earth happens at the eight. At the eight. After the seven. It's exactly correct. Now that's good, because I didn't tell you that. The Holy Spirit told you that. Because there are mysteries here that should not be mysteries to us. And so I'm sorting things out that are difficult to sort out, not because they're difficult to sort out, but because the church has taught the opposite. The church actually, and when I say the church, I don't mean every single pastor. And by the way, whatever I'm teaching you, God is bringing forth in 10,000 places right now. So what I'm teaching you today is unique, but tomorrow it'll be common. What I'm teaching you today may sound strange to your ears, but it's actually familiar. And the Holy Spirit is bringing it to pass. So I'm telling you, the bride will make herself ready. But that is the Holy Spirit who's in her to will and to do. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do. You've got to put those two together. I did it, he did it. It's neither. It's neither that God did it without you or that you did it without him. It's that you are together through Christ, whom now we're beholding, who is the male, so that we are the female, receiving from him, so that it's easy to serve him who served me. I will be happy. Most women are not happy. Most women that you know are not emotionally happy in, they might be happy in Christ, but they're not happy in their husband or in their arrangement, because you're looking for something that doesn't exist. You're not going to be happy because your marriage works. You're not going to be happy because you have wealth and health. You're going to be happy because Jesus Christ has redeemed the natural creation, and all you have and all you want and all you need has already been provided. Therefore, you can live with someone that doesn't deserve it without fear, because God didn't make any mistakes. So the present husband, the present condition, is perfect. It's just fine. Even though they're not, they don't do any work anyway. You're just seeing that they're workless. They're worthless and workless. Because you can only work when you're dead. You can't work in the day. You can only work, you can't work in the night. You can only work in the day. And the day is the eighth. Whoever said, the eighth. The eighth is the circumcision, which is the baptism. Baptism now corresponds to the new birth of the new world, just like the natural birth. Baptism now corresponds to circumcision, which Peter tells you about in 1 Peter. That, I think it's 2 Peter, doesn't matter. That picture, shadow, type, is now fulfilled and is being fulfilled in the work of the Holy Spirit, who's now at work. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. The Holy Spirit now has begun a work. But don't worry, because whatever the Father begins, he always finishes in the sure and certain hope. But the Holy Spirit has not yet finished. Therefore, in time and in space, you don't see it finished, because we're waiting for the 80 days. The 80 days are not up. They're close. We are very close right now to the end. I have no idea exactly. No man knoweth the day or the hour. But it's very close to the 80 days being fulfilled. And when that happens, it's over. Now, when I say that, I'm not even talking now about the resurrection, or the, first resurrection, second, the 1,000 years, and then afterward. I'm not even talking about that. I'm only talking about 2,000. I'm just saying sometime on this third day, which we're already in, since Christ, sometime soon, the Lord's going to return to a bride that is without spot or wrinkle, and she's clean. Therefore, she can get married. Now, we're already betrothed to her, to him. We're already betrothed. But our bridegroom's coming back when everything is ready. She's not yet pure. She's come into the camp, but not into the presence of God. In Christ, however, we can come right into the presence of God, spiritually. Even though psychologically you're still being restored, redeemed. Number two gives me the imputed righteousness. That is, the image has been restored. Now I look like God, but I don't yet act like God. My character and my conduct still are being restored now, not yet complete. Does everyone feel that? Your character, you're not quite dead. You know when your character is restored is when you're completely dead. Your character is not restored when you're better. It's when you're deader. Did you hear that? It's not when you're better, it's when you're deader. Because when you're deader, that's when Christ is able to get through you to bless others, because you're no longer in the road. Spiritually holy. And physically correct. So that's the difference between number two deed and number three deed. Number three, and we could break these down further, but number three has two aspects. Okay, so number one is you're imputed to be righteous in number two under the Redeemer. And that work's finished. That work is finished. That's why you're spiritually pure and in the eyes of God pure. And it's already done. For God, he's not watching for you to get character and conduct. He's not even looking at you. In his eyes, my mother's already pure and perfect and so on. In his eyes, you're already done. But you don't see it. It's a hidden work. That's why the woman is outside the camp. Or she's in the camp, but not yet in the Holy of Holies. She cannot go in. So that high priest has been removed now. We no longer have an Aaronic high priest with curtains and walls and buildings. We have now moved in through the Spirit into the Holy of Holies itself. So you're there already. But your soul is still being moved from the outer court into the inner place, but you're not yet dead. The sooner you die, you see everything in there, you're beaten, that's the flour. You're beaten, that's the olive oil. You're beaten, that's the frankincense. Everything in there is beating you until you're dead. That's how you purify. Get the flesh killed. That's why you can't come into the presence of God, because you're still alive. As long as you're alive, you're not dead. As long as you're dead, you're not resurrected. As long as you're resurrected, you're not producing fruit, because the fruit that you produce is that you're better, but you're deader. And when you have no will of your own, no thought of your own, no emotion of your own, you say, I'll never get there, Pastor. Yes, you will. You're getting there even now. The Holy Spirit is working on you. Even to come to this church is death. You could go to any other church, and they would make you alive. They would preserve you. They'd help to keep you alive. You'd have Starbucks, you'd have bowling alleys, you'd have stained glass windows, and you know, you'd have everything for your children, and everything would be wonderful. But unfortunately, you wouldn't die there. That's the sad thing, is it's not impossible to go there and not to grow. I'm sure in every church there are people that are growing, even in the worst, you know, shallowest church. I'm sure some people are maturing and growing. And even I believe there are some ministers in large churches that are true ministers, who are truly teaching their people the truth and setting them free. But it's rare. What's more common today, and what I'm teaching, you cannot go by the handful of people that attend. You have to realize what I'm teaching is the truth, and it will come to pass. But it will come in His time, because it's not yet time. That's why I don't care. I don't care how it looks, because I'm actually reaching the whole world anyway. I am reaching more people than those that are reaching more people. Because the shallow one-inch theology goes nowhere. Better to have a handful as Jesus did. Jesus only won 12 people, really. And he lost one. Jesus, the best teacher in the world, the best Savior, the Messiah, he lost one. So, I don't think we should worry about how many we're winning. It's how deep we can go until the death. So our witness is to die. Not physically. No, you must keep yourself, you must preserve yourself physically. You must. That's why medicine is so important. But the spiritual medicine, even more so. Keep yourself physically alive. Eat well, sleep well, do things that you need to do. Now, none of us are perfect. But nevertheless, roughly speaking, keep yourself alive until you're dead. And you don't want to die until you're psychologically dead. That is my prayer for everyone here. Is that you psychologically die. Spiritually, you're already dead. Now, psychologically, you must die so that physically, the good works will come forth and give glory to the Father. Why? Because those good works can't be produced by women. Born of woman, you cannot produce those kind of works, because all her children are dead. Those born of Eve, all her children are dead. Except one. And that's why Eve even could hope. And that's why that was given immediately after they sinned. God gave that promise to Eve. In your seed shall the serpent's head be crushed. But she didn't know who that was. She thought it was Cain. Cain crushed his brother's head. But that wasn't it. There was a little mistake there she had. She thought Cain, firstborn, he'll be the one. But he wasn't the Messiah. He was the Antichrist. He was the type of the Antichrist. Whereas his brother was the faithful one, the righteous one, the pure one, the true one, because he had faith, not in himself, but in God to finish his promise. Deed one, deed two, deed three. Now, it's not clear until Jesus came that there was a third deed. It was only clear to the Jewish, and still today to the Jewish people, they're just still looking for the Messiah, number two. But he's already come. And the evidence is there's number three at work. That's the evidence that number two came. And the Jewish people today are opening their eyes. That is, the Holy Spirit's doing it. Through us, through our mercy, so that they might behold him and find their Messiah, the one that they pierced. It says they will look upon him and repent and weep. Lord, we pierced you. Forgive us. And the Jewish people are coming forth today by the droves. You may not know it or see it, but I guarantee you it is happening everywhere. Individuals, 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 individuals. But that nation is being restored. That whole nation of Israel, I mean the natural, secular, dry bones nation of Israel, is actually coming alive. You don't see it, but I'm telling you, the woman is almost finished, and she's almost coming into her purity, and we, the church, will be joined with them. We will be one, male and female. We will be one. We'll be joined together, brother and brother, sister and sister. We will be one. And when that happens, you know, God gets all the glory for that. Because we've had 2,000 years to prove how nothing we can do. We've had 2,000 years. And though we've done some good things, we brag much too much. Because the only thing you can brag about is finish, not process on the way. It's true that you were born again, and it's true you are being perfected. But what's also true is you will be perfect, and you should hasten that day. You should not say, well, let's wait for the full, 80 days. No, it could come at any time for you. Hasten it. Hasten it. So God is today doing a third work, which is the last work, and there is never a work after this. Any work that you do was done by God, and we call it the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's in you. He's the power at work in you right now. You cannot say, I did it. You have to say, what I am doing, the Lord did. To God be the glory. Which is really the will of the Father. Because the Spirit works to finish the work of the Son, faith active in love, until we're all in the image and likeness of Christ. So that's the goal, is that you will be exactly like Christ, the male, to whom we're the female. He's the head, we're the body. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. When that happens, it's done. And that's why I'm going to read and then close. I'll just take just a couple of seconds here. We'll just read it. 21. Okay. I almost have to read from the beginning. Sorry. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which is us, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, like a bride, adorned for her husband. Okay, so there's the female. The city is feminine. And I heard a loud voice. That shows that if you're feminine, you don't do the creating. The feminine is not the creator. The feminine is the channel through which, but not the creator itself. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, that's the male, see, the tabernacle of God, the tent of God, is among people, mankind. He will dwell with them. So God has chosen to live with a holy people. He will live among them. Why? Because he's making us holy. First, he did it by imputed righteousness, number two. Second, he's doing it by actual righteousness, which he's working in you now, through the rod and through the staff to comfort until you're dead. The rod beats you until you're dead, and the staff then instructs you after you're dead. How many know it's easier to instruct people that are dead than it is people that are willful, full of their spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit. We have too much spirit. We're rich in spirit. We're very spirited. Do you understand? That's why children in school don't learn anymore, because they're getting no truth. They have no character, no humility, therefore they don't listen. Now a few do. But for the most part, children don't learn anymore. They're just taught to, have good self-image and so on. And they will be his people, plural, and God himself will be with them, plural. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, plural. Death will be no more. So this is the bride, the spiritual bride, not all mankind, but just those who are holy, made by imputed righteousness, too, and by the Holy Spirit working it in us, three, character and conduct. Death will be no more. Death will be no more. So over then. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. All those things that were first, they're gone. And the one who was seated on the throne said, here's the key verse, see, behold, I am making right now all things new. I'm restoring everything. I'm restoring Israel. I'm restoring the church, not to what it was in the beginning, but to what I had in my mind, in my heart, from the beginning. And he said, write this, for these words are true, trustworthy. Then he said to me, it is finished. It is done. It is ended. It is completed. It is over. This is the maturity I was talking about. The bride hath made herself ready. That's why the bridegroom will come back at that moment. Now, this is way after that, because this is at the time after the millennium. This is at the time after everything has been judged and completed. Then he'll say, now it's done. Now all the wicked are destroyed. Death is destroyed. The lake of fire. Everything is all over. Now, my people, come forth. Why would God marry a woman then put her in a ghetto? No, first thing he's going to do is defeat the king of the ghetto and then destroy the ghetto. Then he'd build his house. Yeah, planted some trees here. It looks nice now. Got robins singing again, so on. And God's not going to say, sweetheart, I'll be gone for a few weeks. You stay right here in the ghetto. No way. No, the first thing you have to do is destroy the enemy. So when the last enemy has been destroyed, that's when the great finish is done. That's when he sits on the throne and says, it's done. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more male suffering for the female. Now it's time for the female to rejoice. Now let's bear children. Now the fruit will come forth. As it's been coming forth, now it's done. That we have not yet heard. The Holy Spirit did not finish his work yet. He's still working. Remember Jesus said, the Father said it's finished, creation. The Son said it's finished when he hung on the cross. But he said, my Father worketh still, and I work. And the Holy Spirit is now working the work of the Father and the Son for you. Not for them, not new creation. There's no new creation. That hasn't even come yet until this moment, eighth day. This is the eighth day. And so when the seven is ended, the eighth begins. Don't worry what time in the eighth day. It can be in the very beginning, not after eight. But it still represents the 80 days. When the fullness of the bride comes forth and the woman is now mature, she's full, she's ready to submit, she's dead to herself, she's ready to marry the man who will now serve her, love her, take care of her, cherish her, nourish her, and she's going to receive it. And her husband will be well known in the gates because she will speak well of him. Oh, I have a beloved. He is my beloved and I am his. He is my beloved and his banner over me is love. Amen? Now, I know these things are simple. I've heard them before. But the way I'm putting it together, I'm saying something really powerful here. There's only three actions in the whole universe over all time and space. Two of them have been finished. One of them remains. The one that remains is the ultimate, the highest, the female, the feminine, the bridal. It is one thing for God to create the world. It's another thing for Jesus to come and redeem us. But it's another thing, again, for you to actually be made holy, not just imputedly, not just God saying you should be, number one. Or, okay, I did it by imputation, number two, but now actually. You know then, hey, I don't think Buddha could do that. I don't think mankind can do that. I don't think a Mason can pull that off. I don't think any human effort of any legalistic church can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that work because it requires your death. And there is no church today that is causing death in the people. It's rather giving people life. Oh, when Jesus came, he suffered, and now it's all over with. Now enjoy yourself. You got authority now to defeat the devil and live like a king and so on and so forth. Yeah, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. But psychologically is the issue right now, not spiritual. Spiritual, I know spiritual. But if you're really spiritually dead, so that only he is the giver of all good, then you psychologically yield to him. You surrender to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I surrender. The reason why we don't surrender is we don't know his beauty, number two. And we didn't know God's original intention, number one. His original intention was never for you to be holy on your own. Never wanted anyone to be holy. He wanted his son to be holy. He put all the law on Jesus, all the burden on Jesus. Jesus, you get under the woman. You get under the man. You get under the law. You get under everything till you're dead. So Jesus came and physically died, but he died psychologically before he died physically, as you must do. And he died spiritually in the sense that he always did what was pleasing to the Father. I always do what's pleasing to the Father, he said. That's a basic statement. So spiritual death, then psychological death, then physical death. His physical death, because he was the second Adam, he was the promised Messiah. His physical death counted. Yours doesn't. So save your physical death till the last. First get the spiritual. You must be born again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all, da 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 da. Then your psychological. I surrender all. Then, finally, the physical. And when the physical is just asleep, you just simply fall asleep and wake up in the presence of God. And God did it all. To God be the glory. So that's God. I tell you, this is good news to me. This is very powerful. It's a very potent teaching. It's not unique. It's not anything interesting other than the fact that it's not being taught. It's not being brought out. And so we're just bringing out that there's only one actor in the whole universe, God. And here are the three acts. There aren't 15 acts, 30 acts, 70 acts. There's only three. The work of the Father, he decreed it, it's done. The work of the Son, he decreed it, it's done. The work of the Holy Spirit, he decreed it, it's done. Only it's done in the future for us who are living on the earth. But in heaven, it's already been done. In heaven, all these things were done at once. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let Job be holy in every way, and she was. It's simple. Now, if you believe that, it'll discipline you every day of your life right now and give you a vision, a direction toward which you are going. Today in the churches, you cannot get a direction. The only direction is back to Jesus with a total misunderstanding of who Jesus is and what the Father originally intended. They don't even know what to do with the law. They don't know what to do with Jesus because they don't know that there's three acts, three deeds, each of which has to hear the scripture, and they're all in the Bible. It is done, it is done, it is done. Genesis 2:1 and 2:2 tells us that on the seventh day he finished all the heaven and earth. And then he said, it's finished, it's done. And then Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, it's finished, it's done. Tetelestai. There are different Hebrew words, tamam, and so on, which means it's complete, it's done, it's ended, it's over, it's matured, it's finished. This is what I originally intended. I manifested my intention, not only in writing, but in deed. In deed, in very deed. Well, that's what God did in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested and said so. Jesus did the same thing on the cross. He effected everything by his death, not by his resurrection. Then he resurrected inside of us so he could baptize us in the Holy Ghost and ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit, who's now finishing what Jesus completed, which the Father began. This third deed, this last deed, should be our whole focus. The fact that you live within the Father's original intention and you understand now that intention has to be understood, interpreted, and made known through the second deed now leads us to the third deed so that it can all be brought to pass. What is it? You. It's not what the Father did. It's not what the Son did. It's what the Father did and the Son completed so that you could be included in the Godhead. That's your inheritance. That's your whole purpose for living. That's a vision without which you will perish. And with which you'll know not only heaven in the future, but you'll know heaven now. Spiritually, psychologically, as you die, so you come alive. And then finally, physically, in every way, you'll see him face to face. All right, God is good. Somebody had their hand up? Yes, Colleen. How out of order? Yeah. Well, you know, we have sympathy for Jezebel because she misunderstands thinking to protect herself and get for herself. She actually loses everything. Whereas if she would have yielded, she would have gained everything. This is so rare in the earth today. Jezebel is common. But it's so rare for a woman to know who she is. Know that everything's for her. And it's not for her because of some husband. It's not because of some pastor. It's because of God, the doer. There's no husband that's a doer. There's no pasture that's a doer. The best you want from them is death. You want a pasture that does nothing, that knows nothing. That's me. I'm a know-nothing, do-nothing. It's pitiful. But that's what you want, so that only God gets the glory. It isn't just that I do nothing and know nothing. It's that I know that I do nothing and know nothing. And I tell you it. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. But the truth that comes to you, it's a gift of God, but you can't get it twice. Like, hey, you gave it to me yesterday. I think I'll get it again. You won't get it. There isn't that kind of consistency in a human being. It's in the office. It's not in the person that fills the office. You're looking to the person that fills the office as though that was your security. But your security is in the office of the one who promised the vision that God said, I always keep my word. If I make a decree, I finish it. I don't share my glory with another. I won't let another be perfect. You cannot perfect what God has already perfected. You don't want me to perfect it. You don't want me to be better than I am. Just let me be. Just take what little dribbles out and thank God for the rest. After all, the only thing I really can say is turn to God and read His Word. Get the Holy Spirit. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Those are my best words to you, not here's my testimony and here's how brilliant and this is what I see. And that doesn't help anything. It does testify that what the secret to my life is, I believe in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I repent when the Father says, be holy, I have to repent. Then I believe when the Son says, trust in me, believe on me, I believe. And then I want to obey, and I can obey. I don't just want to, I can do it. Because He's in me to want, will, and He's in me to do. And He's going to say someday, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's the true woman's position. 80 days, she's clean, she's free. See, these insights, these revelations that come to us, they're gifts of God. You didn't invent them. You didn't like, oh, I got a new revelation. It's not yours. It belongs to Him. You're just a steward. You're just simply, you're not an owner. You don't own it. You don't control it, except to the extent He has put it down. And you don't enjoy it. You enjoy burdens, suffering, duties. A trustee is not eating off of the plate. A trustee is only keeping enough to keep alive. He's only paid enough, just a small, small percent, a half a percent. Sometimes they get 5%. It's too much. You should get almost nothing. You should be rich in yourself according to your own account and pay out of your own account in case something goes wrong so that the beneficiary doesn't get the fullness. Now, it's to the beneficiary's benefit that you take a little bit, but not that you take a lot. So who knows the number? The Father. The Father knows exactly, and that's why He writes the testament. He manifests His intention exactly according to the needs of the beneficiary, not trustee. He's just going to give enough to the trustee to keep the thing alive. So Jesus came, and He saw that the race, the corpus, was bankrupt. And He said, Jesus, first thing you do is get under the law of this trust and fill that thing back up. Jesus said, well, that would kill me. Good boy. I said, that would kill me, Father. Yeah, that's what I sent you for. I want you to suffer and die. Huh? How's that going to help? Well, because it's very good. Don't worry about it. I've got it all planned out. And so Jesus died, and then He said to the people, He said, oh, don't worry about it. I read the document. It says, another comforter will come. The Father and I, when I go back and tell Him, okay, here's the blood. And He says, okay, now we will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the second successor trustee to the first. To what? Not just to manage the account, which Jesus filled, but also to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, which Jesus then added to it in case something would go wrong with it, and then to mature each believer. Now, the trustees normally do not mature the believer, or that is, the beneficiary. But with Jesus, the education and the maturation and the discipline and the training of the beneficiary is more important even than what's in the corpus. Why? Because the trustee was chosen not only to take that corpus under that law, under that intention, and then give it all to the beneficiary so that the beneficiary becomes a successor trustee, just like the original trustee, Jesus, and just like the Holy Spirit, who's just exactly like Jesus, another comfort, so that the beneficiary is no longer a beneficiary. And you find in your life right now, sometimes you're a beneficiary, sometimes you're a trustee, sometimes you're in the middle. But wherever you are on that spectrum, in some areas of your life, you're already a trustee. you're already doing things for God. You know, to God be the glory. In other areas, you're still learning. And in other areas, you're a juvenile and you don't know anything and you're a total receiver. Every day when you say, God, forgive me, you're a juvenile. Every day when you say, God, thank you for giving me that revelation and that protection and that wisdom, now you're growing. And in other areas, you're already the voice of God to people. You're the one, and they're looking to you, and they're receiving, and they give glory to God. All three are happening at the same time. Amen? That's the feminine becoming masculine. The one receiving now becomes the one giving. But at no time does she ever think, this is me. What she's thinking is, thanks be to Grandfather who set this thing up. Thanks be to my Father, the Creator, the Maker, the Author, the Trustor, the one who set this thing up in the beginning. Thanks be to God. To God be the glory. And the glory of the Father is not that he gets anything. The Father's glory is that he gave everything. He's the one that wrote the law. He's the one that gave the corpus. He's the one that set up the trustee. He's the one that appointed the successor. He's the one that designated the certain beneficiary and said, this is my goal, not only that they be alive through the corpus, but they be sustained through the corpus over time, but that they reach the 80th day. And that they be fully mature at that hour, come back into the camp, and come into the presence of God so that we can all be one. I tell you, it's too glorious. It's too powerful. I know that my insight is correct. I know that it's accurate, and I know it has nothing to do with me. It isn't that I haven't studied and prayed and so on. I'm just telling you, I just found it all in the book. It's all in the law of this book. It's right here in this written instrument. I read the full instrument. There's not only an Old Testament, there's a New Testament, and then there's church history now, which is fulfilling what the Old Testament declared and the New Testament effected. Now we're applying it in our life. We have the correct understanding through the New Testament of the Old Testament. The law fulfilled in equity to produce real justice. Real justice is the Father himself is glorified and the beneficiary is happy. She's not only safe, she's happy. Safety and happiness, that's what it's all about. And would that my wife, would that your wives, would that our people would all be safe and happy. What more? I'm safe. An enemy can't hurt me. Death can't get me. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not financially scared. I don't have any enemies. They've all been subdued. And I'm happy. Why? This is what I live for. I just live to please him. I just live to take everything he has to give. And the Father is a giver. He's always the giver. There's no one else as the giver. Whatever you give, you first got. What the Father gives, no one gave it. He is the giver, and he doesn't take anything except thanks for the gift. It's the only thing he takes is, I will take thank you because it's good for you, not because it's good for me. It's like, could I hear that again? He's not trying to hear that. It's for your good that you recognize the truth. He's the giver, and he's the only giver. There is no other giver. Whatever Jesus got, the Father gave him. Whatever the Holy Spirit got, the Son gave him. That is the Father. So it all goes back to the Father. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's the giver of every good, every. That means there's no one else. No one else can give you anything. I can't give you anything. I can only give what I got. And the Father is the one that dictates that. Jim, give that to them. I give it. What is it what you want? Truth. Truth above everything else. You want happiness, but you won't get happiness. What you want is truth. What you really want is truth. I tell you, the whole world will seek truth. And they will fly, they will come, they will search out until they find it. So don't worry about happiness and big numbers and big income and so on. We don't need that. We don't need miracles, signs and wonders, all that stuff that you think would be so helpful, it wouldn't be. What God is after is our death. Once you get that, you get everything else. With Christ Jesus, you get everything. Just don't worry about it. Just be happy now. Why wait to see that you're happy? Just take it now. You must learn that first. Is what the Father has done, who he is so precious, so beautiful. Even if I never even saw everything, even if I didn't understand everything, it's enough to make me happy forever. So I'm starting today, Joe. I'm not going to quit. Everything's going your way. Everything is working your way. You just don't know it. You just don't see it. Who needs to see it and know it? I don't. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to see it. I don't even care if I see it. If I die without a penny, I don't care. I don't care. I've already had everything. As far as I'm concerned, there isn't anything more that I need. I have everything I've ever wanted. I'm completely fulfilled. You say, well, does everything look perfect? Oh, no, of course not. I don't even care about it. I don't care that it looks perfect. I don't care that people can accuse me or, you know, that you lost this or wasted that or whatever. I'm sure I did. That's under number one. I confess that readily. I repent every day. I'm glad I have stuff to repent every day. It keeps you humble. So, oh, well, Lord, you know, I'm not all that neat. I mean, I find, this is humorous, but I find every day that I remember all the things that I've forgotten. Every day I think of, oh, I forgot that, which shows I have a good memory because of all the things I'm forgetting. I'm sure you're like that, Joe. It'll come to you, oh, I need to do this, and I forgot about that. And then, so you have a very good memory because you can remember all the things you forgot. But actually, you forget everything. Is it? Yeah, yeah. Well, just sing a little song. Sing a little song. Say, Jesus, I can't remember a thing, but if you'll just keep it in memory, thank you very much. And I'll just remember that you remember everything. Don't put a burden on yourself. Always just enjoy yourself. That pleases the Father. It doesn't please the Father that you finish what Jesus finished. It doesn't please the Father that you finish what he finished. It doesn't please the Father that you finish what the Holy Spirit is finishing. Let him do it all. To him be the glory. I hope you're all blessed. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We especially think of Joe's birthday today, which was a couple of days ago. But this is a fake birthday today. But nevertheless, a fun one. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, that not only are we given so many blessings, but even more piled on top of the other ones. You are such a great and glorious God. If we lost everything, we'd lose nothing. And whatever we have, there's even more. And we can never run out. If the corpus runs out, then the one who started it didn't have a good heart in the first place. The one that started it should have thought everything out ahead of time, planned it carefully, and made provision that even if the provision failed, the trustee would fill it up again and restore the original intent of the maker until the beneficiary is made whole, happy, safe, complete. Not only the owner, not only mature, but the controller, and not only that, the one that enjoys everything that the Father has given and gives praise forever and ever, submitting herself to him that first loved us. Amen and amen. Praise God.